do the reading for us. It's verses 42 to 47. Thank you, Val.
And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily in one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favour with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
Thank you, Val. And this is a particular passage that I personally absolutely love. And I have a confession. I've preached this one before at this church, but this is a slightly different version. This is a version for now. And it also is a version that as I am growing in Jesus and as I'm getting to know you better, I think is more relevant for what the Lord wants to say to his church here in Sandy. So this is the passage the Lord's placed in my heart. So we're going to do the third part of Acts 2. I think we should have a recap just before we get started. So in a previous episode, back in September, can you believe that? September, we did Acts 2 verses 1 to 21. And that was the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And then in October, I came back and I did the second part, which was Acts 22 to 41. And that was Peter's explanation of Pentecost. And the devout Jews there who'd come for the ceremony, they'd seen the coming of the Holy Spirit. They heard it, they saw it, and they wanted to know, what's that all about? Peter explains it to them. And he says that the Messiah, your Messiah, has been crucified. And some of those were there when they said, crucify him. And they said to him, brothers, what should we do? And Peter says to them, repent, get baptized, and receive the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And in verse 41, 3,000 did that in one day. Awesome. And they received the Holy Spirit. And then today we're going to do verses 42 to 47. What happened next? So this is the life of the church, the first church after Pentecost. And this is the first church, and it's formed by the Holy Spirit and these believers. So today I want to look at three things. The first thing I want to look at, what is essential for the life of the church? What is essential for the life of the church? Secondly, we're going to look at how are the people affected in the place where they lived as a result of the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost. And then thirdly, I want to look in this passage and look at how did the church grow and see what there is in this passage that might be helpful for us today. They're the three things that we're going to look at. So the first thing, we'll start at verse 42. There was four priorities. Four priorities. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They're devoted to the fellowship. They were devoted to the breaking of bread, and they were devoted to prayers as opposed to prayer. It's prayers they were devoted to. So the first point, these are the essential activities in the life of the church. Number one, they're devoted to the apostles' teaching. Before we go too far, let's just look at what does devoted mean. Devoted is the Greek word used here, proskaterio. Proskaterio. It's made of two words. The first is pros, and it means that they were moving in a direction. It describes the motion of moving. They were progressing. And katerio means that they were steadfast and they were persistent. So as they were devoted, as they're moving forward, they're persistent and they're steadfast in the apostles' teaching. Now Luke says that teaching is important for the church. And these are new believers that need instruction. And the apostles have a responsibility to make disciples. They disciple them into the kingdom and then they disciple them in the kingdom. They're responsible for the teaching and to equip those new believers. And these new believers wanted to know everything that Jesus had taught the apostles. They want to know all about Jesus. And they wanted to know, what did he teach you? And can you teach us? And Jesus has taught the apostles, first of all, he's taught them to follow his commands. The first thing he taught them is to follow Jesus' commands. Then he taught them to live a life of love and of forgiveness and of generosity. He taught them to make disciples by proclaiming the good news of God's reign. And then he taught them to baptize the new believers. Jesus taught them to celebrate the Lord's Supper. We're going to be doing that this morning. And Jesus taught them to pray and expect that God will answer their prayers. But most importantly of all, Jesus taught them who he was, who he is, the Lord and Saviour of the world. This is a learning church, and this church is devoted to the apostles' teaching. Second priority, they were devoted to the fellowship. And Luke emphasises here this word, it suggests that the believers have a unity. And the word, the Greek word he uses for unity, is the only place in the whole of the New Testament it's used. And it's homothumadon. It's made up of two Greek words. The first, homo, means same, and thumadon means passion. In this church, there's a unity. They've got the same passion. They're one in heart and mind because they've accepted Jesus as their Saviour and they've received the Holy Spirit. And Luke describes this unity as a fellowship. He says this unity, he uses the word fellowship. It's a Greek word, it's called koinonia. And koinonia means the believers were together. It is the idea that they are sharing in participation, shared participation. And it describes the way that they share their lives and all of their resources. And this unity is expressed in practical ways. They sell their property and they provide money to people in need. Now this doesn't mean it was mandatory. This is voluntary. They're motivated by Jesus' teaching in Luke 6 and 12. And they're not actually against holding on to property. But they're more in favour of people than possessions. They value people above their possessions. And they didn't go and sell everything they owned. They sold things as a need arose. Friends, this is a loving church. This is a sharing and caring church. And they're devoted to the fellowship. Third priority. They were devoted to the breaking of bread. Now, if you read Luke and Acts, Acts was written by Luke, you'll see that hospitality is a key theme. Hospitality is a key theme. Now, I used to be a minister in training at Grandston, a lighthouse cafe. Some of you might know it. It's open on a Tuesday between 10 and 3 o'clock. And what I learned working at the cafe is it's all about hospitality. It's all about making people feel welcome, making people feel like they belong, making them feel like they're loved, that they're accepted. And that is what, that's all we were trying to do. We love Jesus and we want to love the people that come to the cafe. And it's quite amazing. If you come from Grandston, you know on a Tuesday, it's full up of people. The whole community comes in there. And do you know the amazing thing is there's no charge for any of the drinks or the cakes. But there's a little box, and if you want to make a donation, you can. And that's generosity. And they bless the community. Whether you're a believer or not a believer, you're welcome. So a key theme is hospitality. And they shared meals together in their homes and at the temple. And Jesus did this, didn't he? Jesus, over a meal with these disciples, would teach them. They'd eat the meals and then he'd do some teaching over the meal. And these apostles have carried on with that. They're following Jesus' example. So at these meals, at the start of the meal, they're breaking bread. And then after the meal, they share the wine. And this is a picture of the bread, Jesus' body broken for us, for the forgiveness of sin. And the wine, the cup of wine, is the cup of the new covenant in Jesus' blood. And this makes me think that when we share the bread and the cup, when we share communion amongst one another, we are connected and we're one. One with God and one with one another. And breaking bread, it is a thanksgiving, it's a celebration, and it's an anticipation when Jesus returns. If you look at scholars, though, some scholars say, well, breaking the bread isn't the Lord's Supper, it's an ordinary meal. And there is debates about the meaning of what did Luke mean when he wrote this in Acts of breaking the bread. If you look at verse 42, breaking of bread is in the context of the Lord's Supper. If you look at verse 46, the breaking of bread is in the context of sharing an ordinary meal. So the answer is, it's both of them. And in fact, if you note that Luke is placing the breaking of the bread in verse 42 with spiritual activities, with teaching and with prayer. So in Acts, celebrating the Lord's Supper is at an ordinary meal shared between believers. And that's why they were devoted to the breaking of bread. Fourth priority, they were devoted to prayers. Some translations say prayer, but it's actually prayers. In the Greek, it's plural. It means it's ongoing prayer, it's regular prayer. And prayer is an essential activity for the church. Can't do anything without prayer. And prayer is significant in this church and in the lives of the believers who are at this church. And in fact, if you look at Luke, prayer is mentioned 34 times in Acts and Luke's. That's how important prayers are. And for this community, everything started with prayer. They prayed when they were worried. They prayed when they were persecuted. They prayed for boldness. They prayed for healing. And they prayed that new believers would receive the Holy Spirit. They prayed, and their prayers were a demonstration that they depended on God. And prayers work. And that's why they were devoted to prayers. So we've looked at these four priorities. The apostles' teaching, we've looked at the fellowship, we've looked at the breaking of bread, and we've looked at prayers. These four essential in the life of the church. Secondly, let's have a look about how does all of this affect the people living there at that time? Well, in verse 43, it says there's a major impact. They see these many signs and wonders, and the people are filled with fear or awe. And on the one hand, you've got panic and terror. And on the other hand, you've got respect and reverence. And the reason for this is the miracles by God through these apostles. The presence of God is in their midst, and they know it, and they're expectant. And how does it actually affect them themselves? Well, it says in verse 47, with glad and sincere hearts, they praise God. They praise God. They praise God for sending his son, Jesus Christ. And they praise God for the gift of his Spirit. And this is the reason that they could rejoice. And this is the reason they could worship. And when they met up in their homes or at the temple, they celebrated the mighty acts of God through Jesus Christ. And when they thought about it, they couldn't contain their joy. And this is why they're devoted to worship. And the third point I just want to look at this morning, the question I have is, how did the church grow? How did that church grow? Verse 47, Luke writes, the church continued to grow. Only God can lead people to seek salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Only God, through the Holy Spirit, can give a community life. And only God can add to the numbers every single day those who are being saved. Luke is really clear. God is the reason for the growth. It's not their strategies. It's not their methods. It's not their special programs. It's God. And God amazingly chooses to partner with us, ordinary believers, in a church. Isn't that remarkable? God is the reason for the growth. And if you look at numerical church growth, it happens when the church has the right priorities. Numerical church growth happens when people come to faith in Jesus, are baptized and receive the Holy Spirit, and their lives are visibly and powerfully transformed. And this is what happened in Acts 2. Church growth happens when you proclaim the gospel. Church growth happens when the church is a fellowship. And church growth happens when God is present in the church. Let's summarize Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. They were devoted to four priorities. The apostles' teaching, which we call the New Testament. They were devoted to the fellowship, one another. And they were devoted to the breaking of bread, celebrating the Lord's Supper. And they were devoted to prayers. They were a praying church, a praying people. Prayers are conversation with God. This first church is a spirit-filled church. It has the presence of God in it. It's a learning church. God the Spirit led the people of God to submit to the word of God. It is a sharing and caring church. They sold what they had and they shared it with others in need. It's a worshiping church. They prayed and they praised God. And it's a loving church. God was present and the church grew. And that's the third point. Okay, so what does this all mean for us here in Sandy? That's the passage. Well, I think there's three questions that I thought of. What does this mean to us? Three questions, and one of these is a challenge. Question number one. Is this a model for life in the church today? Question number one. Question number two is this a vision for every church? Is this a blueprint God has laid down in Acts for every church? Now, I think it is. And if you agree with me, this is the challenge. How do we apply this? We can agree with it, but how do we actually do it? How do we go and put it into practice? And I think we're already doing a lot of it, actually, here. If not all of it. How do we apply it? So I was thinking about knowing, growing, and showing. And these are just my thoughts, and you've got your thoughts, and that's a good thing, knowing, growing, and showing. So let's have a look at three things, knowing, growing, and showing. The first thing we need to know, and this is the most important thing that I'm going to say today, is whoever calls on the name of Lord Jesus will be saved. Okay, that is number one most important thing I'm going to say this morning. Calling on the name of the Lord. We call on his name to rescue us and to keep us safe. And it's all about the name, Lord Jesus, we speak to you, we call on you, Lord. Then, I had a thought that God isn't just saving individuals. So when people come to faith, it's not you're saved, you're saved, you're saved. God is gathering a people together and he's adding them to a community. If you're here this morning, it means you're chosen. The church is not the building. It's a gathered people chosen by God, known and loved. You belong, you are accepted, you are forgiven, and you are loved. A chosen people. And I particularly like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and he writes that the Christian community is not an ideal that we need to realize, that we need to make happen. But it's a reality created by God through Christ that we can participate in. So this means we don't have to go and try and realize the idea. God has already done it, and he welcomes us to join him, participating. That's the kingdom. That's knowing. I think there's some important things we need to know. Then I thought about growing, and I thought about this first church. It started with a few individuals who put their trust and confidence in the power of God, in the word of God and the spirit of God, and they were obedient to Jesus' command to go and make disciples of all peoples and share the good news. Isn't that amazing? These 12 men, or 70, or 120, just that's what they did. They took God at his word and they went and had a go. And human beings are communal beings. And we find real fulfillment when we're in a community. And when there's no community, without community, there is a void in our lives. So there's people in Sandy without community. And when the church serves the community, those people with a void in their lives, the church grows. And third and finally, showing. You've all got the Spirit of Jesus in you. We've all got that. Let's go and show it. Let's go and show it where we live, to our family, our friends, where we work, where we live. And I think we must show that we're devoted to one another. I think we must show, as disciples of Jesus, that we can love one another and that we honour one another above ourselves. And if we have a brother or sister in need, we should be helping one another. And with our helping and our giving and our sharing and our serving, this is our witness to the world. And when we show this radical loving, giving, sharing, serving to the world, we're showing that we're very different to some of the social structures of our society. So in conclusion, let me just conclude by saying we've looked at Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And we've asked the question is, what is essential for the life of the church? And there's four priorities. And I believe they're there to guide the church. Secondly, we've looked at what was the effect on everybody around while this was going on. And you've got these Christ-centered, Holy Spirit-filled up believers who are devoted to God and to one another, doing extraordinary things in their community. And the world saw it. And then finally, we've looked at how does the church grow? And I think we've learned the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost, thousands of people came to Jesus. And that Holy Spirit is available today. With the Spirit of God with us, with the Word of God left with us, the Spirit helping us to understand and then put it into practice. Friends, I think we've got everything we need. Amen.